The only way people are ever going to come to know Jesus Christ is through your love. Not through your preaching, not through your teaching, not through anything else but the love of Jesus Christ in you. Jesus said, the whole world will know that you are my disciples, not by your preaching, not by your teaching. He said, by your love. By your love, people are going to get to know you and to know me.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. When Raul first gave his heart to Christ, his friends and family doubted he truly changed from the violent, angry person he'd been. But over time, many of them were drawn to the love of Jesus themselves as they saw his life. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story. Today's message from Raul continues our series focused on God's saving grace. Raul will lead us in thinking carefully about our personal witness to a watching world. As you consider the indescribable gift of salvation Christ has brought us, you'll be reminded that this good news isn't meant to be kept to yourself, but freely shared with everybody. Now, to find out more ways to be a living testimony of God's compassion, here's Raul Reese in 1 Corinthians 13 with the lesson, The Power of Love.
Paul the Apostle begins in chapter 13. Let's begin with verse 1 and go through the whole thing and see what he has to say to us. He says, though I speak with other tongues of men or of angels and have not a love or agape, I have become a sounding brass and a twinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and we put Christ there. Christ suffers long and is kind. Christ envieth not. Christ vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not provoked, there's no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Agape love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the most important or the greatest of these three is agape love. The greatest thing about love is that it never, ever, ever ceases. And in that love that he had for us years ago, even before he sent Jesus Christ into the earth to be born of a woman, God began to prepare his tabernacle or his place through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Moses, and through the prophets. Now, in this agape love that Paul talks to us about tonight here, we call ourselves Christians and we are believers in the kingdom of God. Yet, I want to show you something and we'll come back to Corinthians, but let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Don't be surprised the next time the world rejects you. He says that the reason the Father bestowed this love upon us is because He has called us sons of God. We are sons and daughters of God. That is our title tonight. And He also warns us that the world does not recognize the love that we have because the world did not know Jesus Christ. The world rejected Jesus Christ, and the world continues to reject Jesus Christ's love. But you see, we have accepted that love. That's why we're here tonight. Not because I love God, it's because He loved me first. That's the reason I'm here. Because I would have never reached out if, first of all, He would have not reached out for me first. And in this love that we have as sons of God, notice verse 2 what He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know by experience that when He, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that had this hope in Jesus purified himself even as He is pure." If we have this hope, then we're going to bring obedience to our lives. Why? Because He says that one of these days we are going to be just like Him. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. You see, right now I'm living in this flesh, this body, and this tent of flesh. And within me, there's my spirit and there is my soul, and my soul constantly wants to be delivered, yet it cannot until that day comes. I groan like Paul daily. And I groan because I want to enter into that fullness of Jesus Christ that He has for us, in that perfection of body and spirit that He has for us, those that really believe in His love. And you see, as I begin to catch the vision, what Paul and what John is trying to share with us here, he begins to share with us that the only reason love has come is because God loved you first. And then he goes on and he begins to declare this. Go down to verse 11. He says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. This we notice, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous." Now, Abel was slain by his brother Cain. That's the first murder in the Bible. And actually, that's the first time a family is broken up in the Bible, because of jealousy and because of hatefulness. And the only reason that Abel was killed is because Cain did not bring his sacrifice to God by faith. And through jealousy and through covetousness, Cain rose up and killed his brother. And when God came to Cain, he said, "Cain, where is your brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God began to share, "Hey, what is that that I hear? Your brother's blood crying out of the ground. What have you done?" He said, "Cain." And you see, God begins to share with us that our whole commandment in this love that He has is that we must love one another tonight. In the love of Jesus Christ. For, he says this, verse 13. He says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." Don't be surprised if the world hates you. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abides in death." Notice what he says. Now, there's a lot of Christianity going around, and there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but let me tell you something tonight. There's a lot of Christians that are phony because they don't really have the love of Jesus Christ, because they hate their brother. And the Bible says that if you don't love your brother, which you can see, and you haven't seen God, then how can the love of God dwell in you? How can you say you love God when you haven't even seen God, and yet you can see your brother? You see, This love that Jesus Christ is speaking about and Paul and John begins to share with us is the love that God wants to bring to your life supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of brothers and sisters out there that hate their mom, they hate their dad, they hate everybody else, and there's no way you could ever serve God in spirit and truth until you get rid of that hatred and that feeling of ugliness in your heart. For listen to what he says in verse 15. For whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer had eternal life abiding in him. God goes a step further. He says, if you hate, then you're a murderer. And no murderer will ever inherit the kingdom of God. The love of God does not really abide in you, then you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the reason I want to share this important teaching on the love of God is because I really believe that there's a lot of us here that God wants to use tremendously, but he cannot use because we are stumbling in the way that we don't love people. Jesus said that the greatest thing in the world for a person was to do what? To love one another. And the first thing he said is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments in the whole Bible. But if we don't have this love that Jesus Christ speaks about here, then what kind of a power do we have in our lives? For the only way that I can be powerful is through the love of Jesus Christ. The only way. There's no other way. Four, notice what he says. Verse 16. Hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for who? For our brothers. Have you ever laid down your life for your brother? Let me tell you something. I have seen people lay down their life for me. They've been killed for me. I had a young man in Vietnam that was walking. I was teaching him to walk the point. 18 years old out of Dallas, Texas. 18 years old. Teaching him the point right before I left Vietnam. As he's walking through a village during the daytime, there was no booby traps. We had to go back at night to do an ambush. Through walking through the same road, through the same town, through the same city, he tripped off a trap. And as he tripped up this trap, I saw Marines jump in front of this young man to save his life and to push him out of his way, yet this young man lost both of his leg and his right arm. And two Marines were killed, risking their life for this young man. They laid down their life, and these were non-believers. John says here that if we really love each other, then we're going to lay down our lives for our brothers. And you know that I have friends in the world right now that would lay their life for me down right now. And yet I can say to you that I don't know how many Christians would lay down their life for me. Because that's the real love of God. It's incredible how God wants us to understand the fullness of his love. Because if we can see our brothers and yet we cannot see God, and we can actually confess that we love God and yet we haven't seen God and we see our brother, how does the love of God dwell in us when we have seen our brother and yet we don't love him, but yet we love God? We can't. The only way people are ever going to come to know Jesus Christ is through your love, not through your preaching, not through your teaching, not through anything else, but the love of Jesus Christ in you. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the whole world will know that you are my disciples, not by your preaching, not by your teaching. He said, by your love. By your love, people are going to get to know you and to know me. And you know what's exciting about this whole thing? Is that he says in verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have a need. You know, you see a brother that doesn't have a blanket, doesn't have a house, doesn't have food, doesn't have milk, doesn't have no bread. And he comes to you and you see that need. And the first thing you do is you run to the church and say, well, this guy's in need over here. And you don't take care of that need. He says, then how does the love of God dwell in you? Love brings action. For notice the rest of the scripture, what it says. But whosoever has his goods and sees his brother have a need, and then he shuts up his vows of compassion for him, how in the world dwells the love of God in him? How can you say you're a Christian and have the love of Jesus Christ and not help your brother? If I really love, no matter who it may be black, it may be white, it may be a bum, it may be whoever it may be, if that person has a need, if I am a Christian, I'm going to take care of that need physically first, and then the spiritual will take place of itself. If we went over to Ethiopia tonight and we all flew over there and we took hundreds of Bibles to give to the people and we went over there and gave them Bibles, you know what happened? They wouldn't receive us. Because that wouldn't be the love of God to bring Jesus to them first. It would be what? To bring blankets, to bring food. And then as we physically give to them, then we can give to them the word of God which abides forever. That's what John is saying here. We need to care for one another. We belong to the same God. And we don't have to go to Ethiopia. We can go down to LA. We can go down to Monrovia. We can go to Pasadena. We can go down here to Ontario. And we can begin to see people in need. And then God says, where does your love really dwell? Even among the body here, there's probably people in need. And he says, where is your love? Don't pound it off on somebody else. You take care of that need. For it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you know when it really is blessed? Is when you don't have it and it's going to cost you something. Like David said, I don't want your sacrifice to the high priest. I want to give it to God. Something that is going to cost me, I want to give it sacrificially to God. That's the love that he's speaking to us tonight about. The power that changes people's lives. The power of love. Not the power of speaking in tongues. Or prophecy. Or wisdom. Or knowledge. The power of love that can change you, that can change me, that can change the whole world. And that's why Paul the Apostle, go back to 1 Corinthians. Notice what he says. Beginning with verse 8. He says, that's why this type of love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, it shall fail. Whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, a lot of seminarians and a lot of cemeterians take the scripture. And they use it against the word of God to declare that which is perfect is come, speaking that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today. They ceased in Pentecost. They were only for Pentecost for the early church. Well, in 1906, modern Protestantism, the movement, the school came out with the teaching that these gifts of the Holy Spirit were not for today, because that which is perfect actually is not Jesus Christ. And yet here, when you look at the word perfect and you study the word in its context, as you begin to see verse 10, literally here, the word perfect is speaking, not the word perfect, but the word that there speaks of Jesus Christ. When he comes at the second coming, we're not going to need knowledge. We're not going to need wisdom. We're not going to need tongues. We're not going to need prophecy. Why? Because we are going to be perfect as he is perfect. But right now, I don't see anybody perfect. I see a lot of imperfection. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need prophecy. We need tongues for prayer languages. But you see, it's important that we understand that here Paul the Apostle is actually bringing the point key that everything that is here is greater than what? Greater is love than anything here. Love is the basis of everything. For when that which is perfect is come, when Jesus Christ comes again to set up his kingdom age, he's going to come at the second coming only to fight at the battle of Armageddon, to wipe out people, to set up a 45-day judgment, Daniel chapter 12, Matthew 25. He'll set up his kingdom age. During those 45 days, there will be the judgment of the nations. Matthew 25 says that. And then after that, he's going to set up a 1,000-year reign of Christ. The devil will be put into the bottomless pit. And we are going to have our new bodies because we're coming back with Jesus Christ, and we will be kings and priests in the kingdom to come.
And there'll be people alive in the kingdom age, Jew and Gentile alike. And there'll be babies that will die at 100 years old. And we will experience the full love of Jesus Christ in our lives because God is going to reign in Jerusalem, in Mount Zion. And we're not going to have flesh. We're going to have our new bodies, man. And it's exciting to me that because the love of Jesus Christ is so strong that I have actually done nothing. He's done it all. All I have done is trusted and believe, and He gives me the whole world for myself. He makes me a son of God. He makes you a daughter of God. He makes me a saint. He makes me holy. He makes me in Christ Jesus. He makes me everything because of His love. And I don't have to do anything but just believe and trust Jesus Christ by faith. That's all I have to do. It's not what you can do for Jesus Christ, it's what He has done for you. Stop doing and start resting in Him and His love. You see, it's important that we come to that conclusion as Paul says, hey, when I was a child, I spoke as a little child and understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I became of maturity, hey, I didn't worry any longer about childish things. And you know what the church needs today? We need to grow up in His love. In His love. For Paul declares in verse 12, for now we see through a dark glass. Notice a glass here is actually a mirror in the Greek, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when I get there, I'm going to be known even also as I am known. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to go, let me see, which one's Peter? When I get to heaven, I'm going to go, hey, Peter, come here. I want to talk to you for the next million years. When we get to heaven, we're going to recognize Paul, James, Moses, Elijah, every one of them. Why? We're going to be like Christ. When we get to heaven, instant knowledge, just as He is known, we shall be known. We're not going to say, now, God, why did you do this? We're going to know everything just like He knows. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. Because of His love.
We hope you've been encouraged by today's reminder that God's love is always with us, and we hope you've been challenged to share that love with others, even if it requires personal sacrifice. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We are in a series on God's grace, and any of these programs can be downloaded as a podcast using Spotify or iTunes. Or to get a copy of just today's lesson, call 800-634-9165 and ask for the message, The Power of Love, and just include a gift of $5 or more. To further inspire you in a life well lived for the Lord, we'd like to offer you an audio series simply titled Grace. This 3-CD series from Raul ponders the greatness of God's mercy and points to the ways He can transform and shape your life. As you grow in your understanding of what it means to be redeemed by grace, you'll see that God's amazing gift is one you'll want to share with others every time you get a chance. So don't wait. Contact us today to order this helpful resource. We'll send you Raul's 3-CD Grace series for a gift of $17.95. To make your purchase, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. That's 800-634-9165. You can also order by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to enjoy our many free Somebody Loves You resources. For more Bible-based teaching, download our Somebody Loves You app on your iPhone or Android. This convenient app now offers easy access to digital Bible studies and a reading plan that you can use for your own daily devotions. You'll also want to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with timely wisdom to help you navigate life's challenges in a God-honoring way. And of course, you can always connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Our primary focus here is to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord as you ground your life in His mighty Word. We welcome your input on how we can best support you, and we'd also love to stand with you in prayer, so let us know how we can do that when you get in touch with us. Somebody Loves Your Radio is funded through the partnership of listeners like you. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your generous donations help keep us on the air. Next time on Somebody Loves Your Radio, we'll continue with more hope and guidance as we study the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Here's Roll now once again with a closing comment.
Hey, the next time you start getting off course, put your eyes on Jesus. Never get your eyes off Jesus Christ. For if you get your eyes off Jesus Christ, you'll be just like Peter. You'll begin to sink and to drown in yourself. But remember one thing, if you're sinking, you can call out and Jesus will pull you out because of his love. He will never let you go. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, for I am with you always, even unto the end. And tonight, we can receive, as Paul says in verse 13, and now abides in us faith, hope, agape, but the best one of all three is agape love. And that's why we're here tonight.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.